Hey y'all, let's take a look today at Matthew 9, starting at verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went through all that district. So remember, we're in this sequence or this period of time after the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus does a sequence of 10 healings. Ultimately, he's going to heal. There's going to be a couple doubles. There's going to be 14 people healed. For example, there's two blind men healed. There's two demoniacs who are delivered. Notice a couple things. First, this man's extraordinary faith. The centurion had extraordinary faith because he believed Jesus could heal with a word at a distance because he understood authority. This man says, "My daughter has died, but..." he's got this amazing expectation that Jesus is capable and hopefully willing to heal his daughter, to bring her back to life. It's pretty amazing faith. And what's remarkable about it is that this is the only time we speak in these terms in Matthew. Jesus followed the man. In other words, Jesus calls the disciples to follow him. But when he finds faith like this, faith in, as it were, the resurrection or his power to raise the dead, Jesus follows that person. It's really kind of an amazing and a remarkable moment. All of the synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all the gospels that seem to tell the same sequence of events, include this story of the woman with the issue of blood, and they include it intermixed here with the story of Jesus going to heal the ruler's daughter. We get a lot more details in other places. So, for example, in Mark, the short gospel, there's 10 verses about this whole scene, and Jesus here gives 3 verses for this woman. It's a remarkable condensation of that moment. A few things I would point out about it. She touches his fringes. The word there is important because it's not just the edge of the garment, but it's speaking specifically of the tassels that were commanded in the Old Testament, the blue tassels that were to be on the four corners of a garment. They were to be a remembrance of God's works, of God's deeds. And this shows that Jesus was observant in that sense. Remember, it's clear that he doesn't agree with everybody's interpretation of the law, but in many ways, he's conservative with regard to the law. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "I've come to fulfill it, not to overturn it." And he doesn't seem to think that wearing the fringes is against the fulfillment. He doesn't do away with that. This also reminds me that when he heals the leper, he sends the leper to the priests to go through the proper ordering for recognition of his claim of his being healed and restored to cleanliness. So Jesus, again, is not opposed to the law. He's opposed to misinterpretations of it, and he's opposed to understandings of it that see it as ultimate instead of pointing to something that's going to be fulfilled. She has an issue of blood. Other gospels tell us she's had it for 12 years. This would have made her unclean, not able to worship. It would make anybody who touched her unclean. In a sense, this issue of blood would have made her barren. In other words, she couldn't conceive while she had this issue of blood, and indeed her husband couldn't approach her with this issue of blood without becoming unclean himself. So this woman is in a really dire situation, and she may not have been married, maybe because of the issue of blood. So there's a lot going on with her. Jesus says, "Take heart, daughter." That's interesting. We'll come back to that in a minute. He says, "Your faith has made you well," or "Take courage, daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus is genteel here. He's kind of kind in that he doesn't say what he's healed her of. He shows a little modesty and a little reserve, and simply heals her, allows this healing to stand. Then Jesus goes on and goes to the house. The first thing that happens is there's mourners there. In the ancient world, there were professional mourners. Very often, people hired others to come and play sad music and to cry. This strikes us as an unusual practice, but they understood mourning as something necessary, cathartic. But Jesus puts them out, and he says that he says, you need to go outside. She's not dead, but she's sleeping. This is a kind of a common New Testament theme of connecting death with sleep and seeing death as a kind of sleep. This is a sort of famous tradition in Christian piety to understand death as a kind of sleep. Notice they mock. Well, I think this is interesting that, you know, if this had been me and I was about to raise somebody from the dead and there were people mocking, I think I might have been tempted to go, oh yeah, watch this, and done the healing there. This shows Jesus' incredible humility. It shows that he recognizes the sort of myth that, oh, all people need is proof and then they'll believe in him. These people already had a cynical stance, and if he had raised the girl in front of them, probably they would have had some way of wiggling out of the accountability that that sign brought. So Jesus has no intention of pandering to crowds. He's simply ministering in love. And so he puts them out. And notice again, when he heals her, there's no fanfare. Jesus is not for show. He's not going to make this extraordinary thing. He simply takes her hand and raises her up. Again, in most of these healings, the same with the wind and the waves. He just says, be still. With the demoniacs, he says, go. It's so simple and straightforward, and it comes from a place of great authority. So I think there's a connection between the woman with the issue of blood and this daughter. Now, I think those were two real historic women, but I also think they represent historically the people of God. The connections. We're told the woman had the issue of blood for 12 years. The girl was about 12 years old. Jesus calls the woman daughter. This man is the daughter of the ruler. I think symbolically she represents Israel. She represents Israel as dead in their sin and rebellion. She represents Israel as barren and unable to bring forth the fruit that God expects and God requires. This connects with the barrenness of so many figures in the Old Testament. And it speaks of Jesus' ultimate intention to raise the dead and to overcome death. Now remember, whenever Jesus raises someone from the dead, this girl was raised, we assume she died later. Raising from the dead is only a sign of resurrection. Resurrection is the complete reversal of death. And I think this whole scene is, this whole healing is pointing to the resurrection to come. Jesus will undo death, never to die again, and all of us will die if we die before he comes, but be raised to life, never to die again. That's the Christian promise of resurrection. And I think this whole scene speaks to that. So may we, as Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians, lay hold of this central promise of the Christian faith, that for those who trust in Jesus, death is not the end. We will be raised with new resurrection bodies to celebrate God's goodness forever. May we live in that hope, and may we share that hope with others. Amen.